Hello, and welcome to The Supply Chain from Control Risks, the specialist risk consultancy. I'm your host, Sam Tornio, and in this series of podcasts, we'll be taking a closer look at the impact of COVID-19 on supply chains. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Philip Songhurst, Director at Control Risks, heading up crisis, security, and risk consulting across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. We'll be discussing the risk issues our clients have been facing and some key aspects of best practice. Philip, to start off, could you just say a bit about the risk issues clients have been facing amid the COVID-19 pandemic?
At the highest level, the challenges that supply chains have been facing really have been a supply and demand challenge. And so what we've seen is essentially that's put additional pressure onto the supply chain, whether it's goods, products being delayed in ports or issues with capacity in terms of warehousing or even using or access to third-party suppliers such as logistic providers to get your goods out of your distribution centers and to wherever they need to go. And essentially what that is doing is forcing organizations to step outside the normal comfortable way of guiding supply chain. So going around previous contracts and procurement process to make sure that flexibility is embedded in the supply chain. So in terms of some of the security vulnerability risks we're seeing based off that, it's leaving opportunities for fraudsters to access locations which perchance may not have any existing security controls on them or maybe new. They are leading fraudsters to work with third-party providers who may not be used to working with the organization that they're thinking about, and essentially increasing the overall vulnerability of supply chain to theft, and especially in those distribution centers or areas where, such as ports, where there's a buildup of these goods, and it'll continue to build up over the longer term until supply chain resumes. So at the macro level, it's very much that increase in fraud, theft, fraudsters, and even cyber threats as well. But then if you think about what's happening on the day-to-day, and especially at some manufacturing sites, with the lack of human resources and inability to potentially monitor key sites, it does leave a lot of organizations open for some additional security threats. And that's where I think technology can play a longer-term role in the future, potentially closing those gaps in your security risk environment, and especially where there is, or potentially there is, second or third waves of infection, and human resources again need to go into isolation. How do we control that security risk? And technology is one of the key answers to that.
Given this array of risks, would you be able to point to some specific examples of really effective best practice?
Yeah, certainly. So what we've seen with a number of our clients over the last few weeks is a step towards better scenario modeling. And what I mean by that is actually looking at your supply chain and identifying exactly where your critical assets are, who your critical suppliers are, and then modeling specific scenarios around what could happen to those given certain scenarios, COVID-related or otherwise. And then essentially using that as a template to guide your focus and your risk focus onto certain aspects of your supply chain, perhaps where it's most vulnerable or where it's most critical. And then using technology where possible to monitor that by building some trigger points around key things you want to monitor, such as theft in a region or theft at a site. And then triggering those points leads to additional deep dive reviews or security assessments at those particularly vulnerable points in your supply chain. So it's really the combination of that high level criticality review, joining it up with an ongoing monitoring program where you can see the risks as they build in the supply chain, and having the capacity to, when those risks are triggered, to do deep dive security vulnerability assessments, and also, and probably more importantly, third-party security audits to make sure that security protocols are being followed, that risk is being reduced, and the supply chain can be made as resilient and as secure as possible.
Could you give an example of this in action?
Yeah, so we've been talking to a global manufacturing business over the last few months, and actually pre-COVID, but especially as COVID was happening. And as part of their ongoing monitoring program, they were concerned about an increase in fraud and theft at two or three of their distribution centers and warehouses, which are based in Europe. And what we did, using the information from the risk platform, was to essentially do a deep dive third-party security audit on the major suppliers and vendors at those different sites. And in doing that review and those audits, what we found was that some of the security risk protocols that those organizations should have been using weren't being used, and there were significant gaps in those third-party provider control frameworks, security control frameworks. So once we knew that was the case, then we worked with that global manufacturing to essentially close those gaps and use it as as lessons learned, and also a continuous improvement cycle to make sure that actually those third parties were being as secure as possible, and to close those gaps to make sure that to reduce the number of thefts that were happening. And actually, since then, the instance of thefts have decreased dramatically. So it does show the real benefits of actually spending time identifying the risk, keeping an eye on it, and when it does go in the wrong direction, stepping in with an assessment or an audit to get it fixed, and make sure that that's part of your continuous improvement process for your supply chain.
Philip, are there any benefits to implementing these security procedures now, benefits that go beyond the immediate crisis, and that might help make businesses more resilient in the long term?
Yeah, so I think one of the key things that supply chains are going to have to consider in the future, and a lot of people are talking about this, is how do you manage your strategic sourcing across the supply chain? Where do you need to get your strategic sourcing from? Is it further afield, or is it closer to your home business? I think that is a really good example of where you can use real-time data and analytics to identify the strategic resourcing requirements that you have, or sourcing requirements that you need, and ultimately monitoring those so that you have the right and PPE is a good example, isn't it, in terms of the right products and equipment at the right place at the right time. And what that will do is in the longer term, that view of understanding where your risk and criticality sits within your supply chain will make the supply chain much more resilient and flexible. So for me, it's about, you know, having that boundary control at the center, or the corporate center, using data and analytics, but also empowering the local distribution centers and business units for their local staff to actually take that data, look at it, and then make sure that they can use that in their decision making at a local level, whether that's in the UK or overseas. And if they can do that quickly, then it means that if things are happening, or if there is another crisis down the line, they're much more likely to respond quickly. Their crisis plans and business continuity plans are much more likely to be effective and put in place. And we've all seen the kind of delays that organizations have had over the last 6 months in dealing with this crisis. In the future, those analytics will just allow everyone to react much more quickly and to be much more effective in putting in place plans and mitigations to avoid some of those future challenges.
Philip, just before I let you go, I would like you to speak just a bit more about how control risks can help businesses become more secure in terms of their supply chain.
Yeah, so it's one of the things is that we've seen over the last few weeks is that it's very easy for organizations to get into a kind of groupthink mentality, and especially when they are developing risk scenarios around what could happen. And it's very easy to all adopt the same view ultimately. So what we've found really useful for clients is what we call red teaming, which is where we come in and we essentially challenge the status quo of any decision making robustly. And so get people thinking outside of their traditional silos and boxes. And what we found is actually challenging that status quo by using the red team methodology is basically it opens up people's mind to different scenarios which could happen and reduces that focus on that siloed mentality, which just improves the validity of those scenarios and the realism of them in the long term. So I think that's something which we've definitely found of value over the last few weeks, and something we continue to be provide to all our clients. They value that independent thinking and that challenge that we can give them based on what we're seeing in the broader market.
Thank you very much, Philip, for speaking with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time as well.
That's all for this episode of The Supply Chain. Stay updated with new episodes of The Supply Chain by subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. And be sure to check out our other podcasts as well. To follow all of Control Risk's analysis of the COVID-19 pandemic and to find out how we are helping clients build organizations that are secure, compliant, and resilient, visit controlrisk.com. See you next time.